In the year 410 AD, the barbarian Alaric sacked Rome. He entered Rome, besieged Rome, and sacked it. This was Rome, the capital of the world. The walls of Rome hadn't been breached for 800 years. People called it Eternal Rome because nobody could conceive of this vast empire ever going anywhere. And suddenly its capital was besieged by barbarian tribes. Augustine, across the ocean in Africa, got news of this. And people were in crisis because they were saying, "This is Rome. How could this happen?" It was as if the ground beneath their feet were jerked out from under them. And of course, many people said, "Well, it's our fault for not worshiping the Roman gods." Because of this, Augustine took up his pen, and it took him 10 years, but he published a book called The City of God, which was a meditation on the stability of what God is doing in history despite the ups and downs of the kingdoms of men. And I think this psalm in particular inspired Augustine because it is about the promise of God's presence with his people when the ground is jerked out from underneath us. And this can happen in many ways. It can happen, in Augustine's case, at a national level. I don't think we could conceive of that happening, but we don't know where history could go. But it can also occur at a small level when health or finances or relationships fall apart in ways that we can't anticipate and we find we don't know where we are. This is a psalm that David penned because he knew a lot about God's presence with him in the midst of trouble. And he wrote it to be an encouragement and a teaching to his people. Keep in mind that David probably wrote this psalm after 15 to 20 years of knowing that he was God's chosen king for Israel, but also living a life on the run almost all the time. David knew what it was to hide in a cave to save his life. He knew what it was to remain in mountain hideouts that nobody knew about. He knew what it was to try to take refuge in a city and find out that city was willing to sell you out to the highest bidder. He was so unstable in his life that he took his parents to Moab, to another country, and asked the king of that country to house his parents to keep them safe. So for some 15 to 20 years of his life, in the midst of peril of his life, sometimes at every hour, David learned of what he speaks of in this psalm. And in Psalm 46, he has been installed in Jerusalem. And he's now ruling over Judah and Israel. And I believe he pens this psalm to teach his people. He wants to teach them that there are many threats that come in life, but the promise to his people is that there is refuge in him. So he begins verse 1. "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble." And again, pay attention much in the Psalms and you will hear refuge a lot. Remember in Psalm 2. It said, "Blessed is the one who takes refuge in God's anointed one, in God's king." It is a constant refrain. Last week, we talked about refuge. And think about the word refuge. It means your life is on the line and you find a place to hide that keeps you safe from harm. And David said, "You know what I have learned? God is that. For those who love him, for those who have found his goodness, he is a refuge." And I love this line, "a very present help in trouble." It's a really hard line to translate, but that does a really great job of it. When you are in distress, he is right there. He is there to find. He is, as it were, easy to find. And again, when you think about David's life is one story after another of almost being caught by those who would destroy his life and finding circumstances in which he got out. And I think this line at the end is very important too. "A very present help in trouble." See, I think David would tell us that certainly God has blessed him with many good things in his life and many times of peace. But David wants to say it's specifically in the midst of trouble that God is a very present help. As he says in Psalm 23, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you are with me." David knew that it was in the midst of crisis, in the midst of feeling as if his life was falling apart, that he found God's presence and help to be with him when he cried out to him. And so David wants to remind his people, hey, we're in peace right now. I'm established as king in Jerusalem. But you know what? He saves us not from trouble, but in the midst of trouble. It is when he meets us in that trouble that David is speaking of. Therefore, we will not fear. Though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. Selah. David never experienced anything literally like this. And I think few people have. A situation in which literally the ground under your feet is cast into the sea. But he did experience many moments in his life that were precisely like that. When his own king of the kingdom, that the king that God established, was trying to kill him. All right, that is a real identity crisis in one's life. And David experienced that very thing. The stable ground underneath him was being taken out from under him. He had many times in his life been like a man drowning at sea, feeling like, this is it, God. I'm going down and I'm not coming back up. But it is in the midst of that that he grew confident from experience that God was a present help in times of crisis. That regardless of how bad it got, that God had saved him and redeemed him and helped him one time after another time after another time. And he's trying to instill that confidence in his people. Verse 4. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. So the scene sort of shifts. David's talking about crisis and the world falling apart. And now it shifts to this peaceful city. This city that it's almost an idyllic city. And he says, there's a stream that flows through the city of God. Now, I want you to imagine, if you will, David in his city. David took Jerusalem. He brings the Ark of the Covenant in Jerusalem in great celebration. He has his own house. He has a future site for the temple. And he's going about his city and thinking, man, after all these years, I'm secure. I'm stable. And he's thinking of the years to come, of his own son maybe building the temple. And he thinks of this city as the ideal city. Now, if we were to go to that city at the time, it was pretty itty-bitty. We would think of it as a village on top of a hill. But David envisions this provision that God has. And he says there's this river that runs through the middle of it. Well, Jerusalem doesn't have a river, but it does have a spring. There's a spring that has supplied that city. In fact, most people think that's why the city was built there in the first place. There's a spring. And by the way, that spring is still flowing today. You can go and walk in that spring. And he's thinking of this city that is well protected. It's well situated. It has provision of water. It has everything it needs. He's thinking of the tranquility. I mean, imagine this shepherd who has known what it means to feed and water sheep. He's thinking, this is just like sheep, well secured, well provisioned. This is where God dwells. And of course, he says, that's the dwelling place of God. Now, recall to your mind when David eventually brought the Ark of the Covenant into Jerusalem. It's this one moment in his life when he danced, and he danced in such a way that his wife thought it was shameful and scandalous. But David rejoiced before God because here it was happening. He was the king. He was established in the city that God gave him. And God himself was coming to dwell in the midst of his city. All right, it's almost like this is the happily ever after that we all long for and that David was anticipating. Psalm 45, which we haven't looked at, is a song about marriage. And if you pay attention to the sequence of the Psalms, it's almost as if we're entering this, man, you know, the king gets married and he settles down in Jerusalem and it's happily ever after. And this is what David is celebrating. But then we turn back to some of this turmoil. Verse 6, the nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. The nations rage. David has experienced the rage of nations. He's experienced personally the rage of other kingdoms that want to destroy Israel. He's probably, because he knew the scriptures, thinking back on Egypt raging against the people of Israel and trying to destroy them. He's thinking of all these ways in which the nations have tried to destroy his people. But then he says, God utters his voice. And that settles things. Remember in Psalm 2, the nations rage, they plot in vain, and God in the heavens laughs at the plots of mankind to thwart his purposes. I think that is what is in David's mind. I had a teacher in grade school, sixth grade. I don't remember her name. Maybe mom and dad remember her name. But whenever the class would just get talking and it would get loud. And if you're a teacher, you know what it's like. The students just keep going and it gets really loud and it's just crazy. She had a coach's whistle. And she would blow that as hard as she could and yell, "Cease firing!" And that's what I think of. It's like history and what the nations do to bring violence to history. God is going to blow his whistle and say, "Cease firing." And that is going to be the last word. Amen? Amen. Verse 7. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Selah. This is the refrain and this is the theme of Psalm 46. God's presence with his people. He says, the Lord of hosts. Remember, if you see capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, that's God's personal name that he gave to Moses at the burning bush. And so you could say this is Yahweh of armies. Yahweh, the God of angel armies. Those armies that behind what we see determine history. And then he says God of Jacob. And this is such an evocative name for God. Think of Jacob's life. Think of Jacob running away himself from his brother who wanted to kill him. And finding that God was with him as he slept and he didn't know it. And finding that God was with him in exile in another land. And finding that when he returned to the land, he wrestled with God himself, who blessed him and gave him a limp. This is the living God. And the God of Jacob is the one who was with Jacob and who blessed him and brought him into all these promises that he gave to Abraham. It's the one that ultimately led Israel through the Red Sea and destroyed Egypt, who was trying to destroy Israel. Verse 8. Come and behold the works of the Lord. How he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes wars to cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Consider this. David couldn't build the temple because he was a man of war. He was a man of blood. He had blood on his hands. But here David is telling us that God is going to end war. That God ultimately wants to bring an end to the violence of mankind on the earth. He wants to bring rest. He wants to bring peace. And peace is things as they ought to be. And David understands that God has done that for him. He has brought peace in David's life. He has established him in Jerusalem. And I think David understands that God is going to do that in history. That God is going, taking history somewhere where he will end the violence of mankind and bring about everything as it ought to be. He is looking for that ultimate resolution of history and the peace that God wants to give. Finally, he says, verse 10, and this is the only command in the whole psalm. And it's a quotation from God himself. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. It's a be still and know. It's a little hard to translate. The word means something like you've got your grip on something really tight. Let go of it. Loosen your grip. Loosen the grip you have so tightly on life. He's saying, I am God. I am going to establish my purposes. It doesn't ultimately depend on you, even though I am going to use you. And in fact, behind that line, be still and know that I am God. Again, the burning bush. I am, and I will be exalted. God, he will be exalted in the earth. He will be acknowledged by all. And I believe that this is the key. This is the place from which David lived his life. He lived his life from an ultimate stance in which he knew that God was using him, but it did not depend on him, and that God was ultimately going to be exalted. David had a loose grip on his life because he understood that it was ultimately God who is going to establish his promises and carry out his purposes. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Selah. This is what David would have wanted to teach his people, and I believe this is what David still wants to teach us in the Spirit, that God is with us despite history. But of course, David is a type. His whole life pointed forward to Christ. So I want to go back through very quickly and talk about how all of this is fulfilled in Jesus. First of all, Jesus would have known this psalm by heart. He would have known all the psalms by heart, but he would have known this psalm by heart. And he would have lived his life from the perspective of this psalm. And Jesus came declaring and knew his Father as a very present help in trouble. In fact, I would suggest that's precisely what he preached. When he preached, he said, the kingdom of God is near, it's very present. Therefore, repent and believe the good news. Jesus came living a life where he experienced God's very present help in his life, and he was inviting all comers to participate in that, to experience the very present help of God. He knew that God was an easily found help, and the kingdom of God that he was inviting people into was precisely that. He did not live a life of fear. There were moments in his ministry that Jesus could sleep in a boat while the ship was being tossed up and down on the Sea of Galilee, because he lived from this perspective. God is a very present help in trouble. Jesus had all kinds of opposition in his life, but he had a deep rootedness in his Father's presence and reliability and stability. And so he went through his life and his ministry with great poise. Jesus knew that, as this psalm says, that the mountains, though they be thrown into the heart of the sea, he knew Rome was coming and would destroy the temple, would destroy the thing that represented God's presence on the earth. But see, he knew that he was going to enter into the same judgment, be cast into the heart of the sea, but his Father would raise him up. He lived his life in the midst of storm with great confidence in his Father's will and his Father's presence, and that determined everything in his life. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. In John chapter 7, Jesus says this, on the last day of the great feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. That's the river that makes glad the city of God, that Jesus declared in the midst of the city of God and invited all who would come to come to it. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. See, again, Jesus knew that his Father was with him and that he was in the midst of his Father's will. And that gave him poise to declare his Father's will. That gave him poise to ratchet up opposition to what he was doing. That gave him poise to walk to Jerusalem knowing what was going to happen to him, because he knew that his Father was with him. And that is what gave him poise to willingly accept death, because he knew his Father was with him and would raise him on the third day. It says he will help her when morning dawns. Throughout scripture, night is when significant things happen. The Passover lamb was sacrificed at night, and it was in the morning that Israel went out free. And of course, it's early in the morning on the third day when Jesus raises from the dead. And he knew that because he knew this scripture, and he knew his Father's presence with him. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice and the earth melts. Of course, the nations raged. The greatest nation that ever was at the time raged against Jesus. They put him to death. His own nation raged against him. But see, Jesus is the word of the Father. And God gave that word in history. And that word will have the last word. And he knew that God would raise him and that he would have the last word. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and behold the works of the Lord. He makes war cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow. He shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. It says, behold the desolations that God has wrought. Jesus came to bring a sword. He says he came to bring a sword. He came to cut across the idolatrous loyalties of human life and to bring everyone back to ultimate loyalty to God. He did come to bring a sword, but he knew that that sword would bring peace. He knew that that judgment on the idolatry of the human heart would ultimately bring peace. And he is going to bring that peace, and he is going to settle down in his city with his bride. Again, in Psalm 45, it celebrates the marriage of the king. And in Psalm 46, it speaks of the joyous city of God. It says this in Revelation. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. David anticipated that city. Jesus invited all who would come and find refuge in him to that city. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. In John chapter 12, Jesus said, and I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. When he says he was lifted up, he wasn't talking about his resurrection. He was talking about the cross. When I am lifted up on the cross, I will draw all people to myself. See, remember what Paul says in Revelation, that Jesus himself did not consider equality with God. He did not consider his rights something to be grasped. But he let go and submitted himself to the Father's will. And in his passion, he was lifted up because he knew his Father would raise him up and exalt him on the last day. And his name would be exalted and recognized as the name that is above every name. He recognized that every tribe and every tongue would acknowledge him. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress, Selah. Remember Jesus, when he sent his disciples out into the nations that raged against him, and knowing full well what would happen to them, what would happen to many of his people, said, I will be with you even into the end of the age. And so Jesus fulfills all these things. So very quickly, us. God has been a fortress to the people of God in every age. Augustine experienced it in the declining years of the Roman Empire. Luther experienced it when he had his own contest with the church of his day. He actually wrote, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God, as he was holding up in a literal fortress. He said, God is like this fortress. I have experienced his protection in times of trouble. He is a very present help, not just in church, but in trouble, in life, in the difficulties that we face every day for those who call out to him. Christ is the mountain that was cast into the heart of the sea, but God raised up to be a mountain that fills the whole earth. It means for us that no sea, no trouble, no difficulty is ever ultimate or the last word again. That the last word is his son, and the last word is the resurrection of his son and the promise of resurrection that he gives to his people. And there is a stream that makes glad the city of God. That stream was poured out on the day of Pentecost in Jerusalem. And since that day, it has flowed through the whole earth and all history. And everywhere that stream goes, it brings life. It's the stream of the Holy Spirit that comes through the gospel. It makes glad the people of God in every age and every place where they dwell. There is a city. And you know what? Our hearts long for that city. The scripture says that Abraham went and he saw Egypt. He saw the kingdoms of Mesopotamia, and he was looking for a city, and those weren't it. He said, there's a shadow here, there's a picture here, but there's something greater. There's a city that I believe God is building, and I want to be a part of that city. Later on in the Psalms, it says, glorious things are spoken of that city. If you've ever experienced a big city, and just, they're amazing what humans do. It's a shadow of a hint, of a rumor of the kind of thing that God wants to do in the end of history, where he wants to dwell with his people. God's presence, the book of Revelation says, it will be the light of that city. He will be in its midst. God is working through the gospel of his son to bring an end to every war, to every oppression, to every violence that comes from the human heart. And we are called to be the stilled people, the people who have let go our rights, who know that God will be exalted, who can give ourselves in love, even if it costs us everything, because we know that is not the last word, that he will help us when the morning breaks. We know that he can be trusted with our ultimate good, whatever happens. And I want to say this, it doesn't mean we're passive. It means the place from which we come and the place from which we resolve, the place from which we work is a place of calm, confident trust in God's ultimate victory in history. Amen? It's what I believe the scriptures speak of when it speaks of Sabbath. And I would ask, do you live your life from that place of poise where you can let go and say, God will be exalted, and I can give myself to whatever I do with a light grip, because I know that ultimately it rests in his hands. Jesus will be exalted. He will be acknowledged as the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. He is with us in trouble. He is with us in turmoil. He is with us in the difficulties that we face every day in life. He is with those who call out to him like David did, like Jesus did in his life. As it says in Hebrews, he cried out day and night with loud cries. So David wrote this psalm to teach his subjects, his people in Jerusalem, his people throughout the kingdom, what he learned of God's presence with him in the midst of his trouble. Jesus, the Lord, knew this song, sang this song, fulfilled this song. And the Holy Spirit gives us this song so that we can teach it to one another and experience the very present help of God that comes through Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Well, let's stand up.